Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
Since 2013, the state of Texas has poured more than $2 million into a private chiropractic clinic in Irving, which lobbied state officials, including then-Governor Perry, to fund treatments for post-traumatic stress and brain injuries in war veterans. The money paid not for established therapies, but for the experimental use of a gyroscopic chair that spins in multiple directions. This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. Some patients say they felt much better after their turn in the gyro-stim. But critics note the research protocol employed to test the chair at taxpayer expense was scientifically worthless. My guest is journalist Sue Ambrose of the Dallas Morning News, who collaborated on this story with Scott Gordon of NBC5. Their joint investigation revealed how three separate no-bid grants for research into treating wounded vets was given to the Carrick Clinic. Sue, welcome to Think.
Thank you, Chris.
What exactly is a gyroscopic chair?
Well, this is a chair that looks a little like an astronaut training device. That's how it's been described. A patient will sit in it, put some straps on, and then the clinicians can use a computer to control its spin and its angle. So it actually spins the person upside down and sideways at a prescribed speed.
It was not fast like something at the state fair, but in some ways it looked a little bit like the motion that you might get in some kind of roller coaster there, where you're in a little capsule that turns in different directions.
Yes, that is what it does. From all the videos that are available, it spins you upside down and sideways, the claim is that it stimulates the brain's balance system.
What is a typical treatment session like? How long do people spend in that chair?
In the study that we looked at, the patients were strapped in and spun about three times a day, I believe, for varying lengths of time.
Mm-hmm. Why does this work if it works? Why would it work?
Well, the experts we spoke to said there was no reason to think it would work. PTSD is not known to be connected to the brain's balance system in any way, and there was no reason before doing the study, no prior medical evidence, for example, to think that PTSD symptoms could be improved by spinning in the chair.
Okay, so how was this thing invented? Because it wasn't invented specifically to treat these conditions.
That's correct. The clinic had purchased a chair from an inventor in Colorado. This gentleman had invented the chair because his daughter had been born prematurely with cerebral palsy, and the parents were told that the daughter should be her balance system should be stimulated, and they suggested spinning her around on the floor. But the parents were worried that they were hurting her, and the father was an engineer, and he thought there had to be a better way. So he came up with a chair that you could sit in instead of, spinning around on the floor. And that is how the chair was invented.
So he's an engineer, but he doesn't have a background in physiology or neuroscience or anything.
No, that's correct. He is an engineer, and he has sold the chair to a number of clinics, but he acknowledges that he actually said he welcomes more research into whether the chair works.
Okay, so what is the Carrick Clinic? How did that come into existence?
The clinic was started, opened up in early or mid-2013. It was formed by a local businessman, a local chiropractor, and they were interested in developing a clinic that would use treatment protocols and treatment ideas developed by Dr. Frederick Carrick. He is a chiropractor, they hooked up with him and the chair's inventor and took it from there.
Can you jump back for a second? I think a lot of people have heard about, folks going to a chiropractor if they have some kind of injury. What is the sort of science and philosophy behind chiropractic care, and how does it differ from seeing a medical doctor for a similar condition?
Well, first of all, chiropractic care traditionally is to treat disorders of the joints, the spine, aches and pains. There is a subset of chiropractic that was developed by Frederick Carrick that aims to treat brain disorders with chiropractic techniques. A lot of them center on the balance system. A lot of medical doctors don't believe that it works because they said there's not good science to prove it. but the, you know, the chiropractic clinic has based its practice on these techniques.
To be clear, a number of people who have used the chair, who have gone to the Carrot Clinic, have said, I feel better.
Yes, they have. You know, they I talked to one veteran who was part of this state-funded study, and he said he did feel better. He didn't claim to be cured, but he did feel better. You know, and I'm glad he does. Veterans need help. What we focused on in our stories was that if the state was going to fund, you know, multimillion-dollar research projects, that the research should be conducted well and with sound scientific methods. We were told that it was not.
We'll talk about the reasons for that in a moment. But is it common for grants for research or contracts for research to be given by the state without a competition for those funds?
You know, the traditional way to fund research is to for a government agency to put out an announcement saying we would like to solicit ideas for how to address a particular medical problem. In this case, it would have been PTSD. And then they solicit applications from researchers, anyone who wants to submit an application. And then the applications are reviewed by experts. And in this case, it would have been experts in PTSD. That didn't happen here. There was not a competitive bidding process, and there were no PTSD experts that reviewed the study.
So there's nothing to say definitively that the Carrot Clinic might not have won this grant in a competitive bidding process, but there was no competitive bidding.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so what kind of celebrity endorsements surround this device that was the focus of this research?
The clinic has treated several prominent Navy SEALs. The most prominent one I would think would be Marcus Luttrell. He's a former Navy SEAL who is the
lone survivor guy.
Yes, the lone survivor. And he has been treated at the clinic. He has supported the clinic and voiced praise for it in videos that appeared on the clinic's website. And we tried to reach out to him, but we didn't hear back from him.
Was the Carrot Clinic doing brain work before this PTSD TBI project involving the chair and the research funded by the state?
We went back through internet archives and found that yes, they were doing brain, you know, trying to treat brain disorders. The PTSD. PTSD as a brain disorder wasn't put on their website, according to our research, until after Governor Perry made his first visit. And in fact, Governor Perry is, according to our research, the one who brought the clinic to the attention of the state.
Okay, so how did Governor Perry find out about this place? There are chiropractic clinics all over the state. Why did he visit Carrick?
What we found was that there was a gentleman named Leroy Sisco, who was a retired Lieutenant General from the Texas Guard, and he had heard about the clinic. Mr. Sisco runs a foundation to try to help veterans who are struggling when they come back to this country to find housing and jobs. He heard about the clinic and wanted to see if it could help his veterans. So he actually took a trip there. He liked what he saw, and he told Governor Perry about it.
And he actually sat down, Leroy Sisco sat down in the chair himself and took a spin.
Yes, that's correct. He told me over the phone that he was evaluated. He and his wife were, and they were, you know, they ran through the treatment. He even told a story how he had mentioned to his wife as he was walking into the clinic that he needed to get his contact lenses fixed and or changed, I guess, because he couldn't see well. And he's told me that after he spun in the chair, he could see much better. And, you know, I don't know any more detail than that, but he was hooked on it and he thought enough of it to tell Governor Perry about it.
The folks at the clinic, though, said, well, this makes perfect sense because sitting in this chair has realigned your eyes to one another and realigned your eyes to your inner ear and your balance system.
Yes, that is what General Sisco told me the clinic said to him.
When you spoke to doctors about that, what did they think of that assessment?
The doctors that we interviewed, and we talked to people who study PTSD and also people who do study the brain's balance system, and they don't see any medical reason to think that spinning in a chair could do anything other than for one particular type of vertigo. So, there is a type of vertigo that they thought could be treated in the chair because it, you know, the motion would loosen up debris in the inner ear and help restore balance. But they said, even for that, you don't need a spinning chair.
We're speaking this hour with investigative reporter Sue Ambrose of the Dallas Morning News. Her article, Texas Taxpayers Pay to Spin Vets in Chair, is available online. We'll come back to our conversation with her about this in a couple of minutes, and you can join it by calling 1-800-933-5372. And we'll be back in 2 minutes with Sue Ambrose.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering the SMU Certificate Program, where you can take courses in art, architecture, history, literature, and more. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with reporter Sue Ambrose of the Dallas Morning News. Her joint investigation with NBC5's Scott Gordon resulted in a newspaper story called Texas Taxpayers Pay to Spin Vets in Chair. We're unwinding that story today on the air. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call 800-933-5372. So, Sue, we're talking about this facility that's been known as the Carrick Clinic after Frederick Carrick, who is a chiropractor operating out of Florida. What is the relationship between the clinic here and Frederick Carrick?
The clinic is inspired by Frederick Carrick's the subspecialty of chiropractic called functional neurology that Frederick Carrick developed, and the clinic was named after him. They also have a sister clinic in Atlanta, which is where Frederick Carrick himself saw patients. He did not see patients here in Dallas. He doesn't own the clinic, but you know they did use his name as inspiration for the name of the clinic, as well as his teachings as inspiration for how they treat patients.
And you had some interesting news that broke today about the name of the clinic itself here in Irving.
Yes, today the clinic is now no longer known as the Carrick Brain Centers, but it is known as Cerebrum Health Centers. That name change went into effect this morning or sometime last night. I actually called the clinic this morning and confirmed that they were answering the phone as Carrick Brain Clinics yesterday, but today as Cerebrum Health Centers. And they've told me that they actually separated with Dr. Carrick earlier this summer, and they told me that this rebranding process has been in the works since then.
What is the reason for the separation with Dr. Carrick?
Well, we didn't get a lot of detail on that. We spoke with Dr. Carrick. He says that he had complained about certain billing practices that the clinic wanting him to do, that he didn't want to do it, but we don't really have a lot of detail on that. The clinic wouldn't comment on it, but he also says that the clinic, when they named it after him, he knew that they named it after him, but he said they trademarked his name, the actual word Carrick. They trademarked that without his authorization. And as things went a little bit sour, he said he wanted his name back.
Okay. The initial grant from the Health and Human Services Commission in Texas was for $800,000. What did that money pay for?
That was the first round of funding. It paid to treat about 50 veterans using this two-week treatment to try to alleviate symptoms of PTSD.
And they came not only from Texas, but from other parts of the country as well.
Yes. Initially, the veterans, we found through our research that the veterans came from across the country, you know, Maine, California, other states, and they were flown here and accommodations were paid for during the two-week treatment.
They were flown here and accommodations were paid for. So they were like staying in hotels. And can you kind of talk about some of the things that went along with being treated in this chair?
Yes, they were put up in a hotel, and that's largely because they had to show up at the clinic every day, and if they were coming from far away, obviously they needed a place to stay. We also found a series of blog posts by one veteran who participated in the study, and he wrote out in great detail his experiences, and he said that when he was there, the veterans in between treatment sessions would go to local gyms. There were hunting and fishing activities planned, et cetera. And that was part of the 2 week time spent here.
So some critics of the study portion of all this have said, well, how do we know that it's the chair that is making folks feel better and not what amounts to something pretty close to a 2 week vacation?
Yes, that was a criticism of the study. Several experts said if you go away from your home, from your job, from your normal situation that might be, you know, where you normally do experience your PTSD symptoms, that anyone would feel better, you know, after a 2 week break, especially if you're allowed to go, you know, on these sort of recreational activities. And they said that compromised the integrity of the study.
What did Carrick say about that?
Dr. Carrick?
What did the clinic, which was then called the Carrick Clinic, say about that?
The clinic stands by its treatment. They say they stand by the way the study was done. They said it was successful, and they said that it proved, that they have a new way to try to treat PTSD.
Dr. Carrick is not a graduate of Harvard University, but he did take a course at Harvard to teach him how to conduct research studies.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, we noticed that in several documents that he had a harvard.edu email address, and it was connected to a scholars program that Harvard University Medical School runs, and people with certain credentials, which he fulfilled, are able to take a class there. It looks like it goes for about a year during the academic year. You learn how to do medical studies. And when you're done, you actually get an email address that ends in harvard.edu. And he uses that now in his research articles.
Was he directly involved with this research?
He told us that he had designed, proposed a research design, and he didn't treat patients here in Dallas that went through it, but he proposed the research design and analyzed the data. There's a little discrepancy of who actually designed the study the way it was eventually carried out. He said he proposed one design. He said the clinic kind of changed it without his knowledge after his first proposal. The clinic's owners, however, say that Dr. Carrick himself was only solely responsible for the study's design.
If I understand this correctly, when you are doing a research study of this kind, one thing you want to do is ensure that all of your patients who receive the treatment receive comparable treatment. The clinic said, we have customized this treatment for each patient based on what their problem is. That would sound maybe like a good thing, but it makes it difficult to assess the accuracy of the study's conclusion.
Yes, and that was a criticism that, you know, we interviewed five separate experts on this, and unanimously they pointed to that as a weakness of the study. One doctor even said, if you were going to give, let's say you were going to test a new pill to treat a certain disease, would you give a different pill to every person and conclude the pill worked? You know, it's a different pill. They do customize these treatments. They weren't described well, so it's really hard to understand what was actually done and to individual study subjects. And because there's a lack of uniformity, it makes it even harder to draw a conclusion about the treatment's effects.
All right, let's talk about controls, which people may remember from, their science careers in school. It would seem as if you need to, if you want to test the effects of this chair, you need to have some study subjects who live in a hotel and eat the same food and go on the same hunting trips and use the chair, and some who do all of those things except use the chair. Is that essentially correct?
That is correct. There has to be some sort of comparison group. If you want to claim that your treatment is working, you have to have a separate set of veterans who are, you know, treated side by side in a different way. That could have been what you suggested, perhaps. It could have also been, you know, treating one set with their protocol, but treating another set of veterans with other treatments that have been shown to be effective in treating PTSD. And either of those things would have provided some sort of point of reference to know whether the clinic's treatment protocol is better or worse than what's already out there.
But there was no control group.
That's correct.
Has the Carrot Clinic explained why they didn't use a control group?
Well, you know, we asked them that in... all they would say is that they, you know, the studies were approved and that they showed that they, you know, they claim that they have good results. In some of the documents they submitted, they said that the patients actually served as their own control before and after treatment. But the experts we talked to said that that's not good enough.
Neither you nor I are medical professionals. We're journalists. But what did you learn from the doctors you spoke to? Some had concerns about putting a traumatic brain injury patient into a machine that was moving them around.
Well, you know, it's unclear exactly what types of brain injuries these veterans have. So, you know, that could be a risk factor. But overall, you know, most of the people we talked to said they didn't see any huge risk in spinning in the chair, but they were more concerned that there was no reason to think it would help and that it was more of a waste of time, frankly.
Okay, so you have this initial grant for $800,000 to treat these 50 veterans to test this thing. And then there was another one for the same amount.
Yes, after about 5 months, the contract, the original contract was amended. Another $800,000 or so dollars was given, and about another 50 vets were treated. But it was all done the same way, you know, throughout that time period.
What do we know about then-Governor Perry's suggestion that this would be a good idea?
We know that Governor Perry had heard about this clinic. You know, this lieutenant general I spoke of earlier from the Texas Guard told him about it. He visited the clinic. Actually, right when it was first opening, only a few days after the spinning chair had been transferred there, and he visited it. And you know, soon after his visit, according to all the state records we obtained, his staff became intimately involved in shepherding emails, scheduling visits, connecting the state agency that would eventually fund it with the clinic.
We're speaking this hour with Dallas Morning News investigative reporter Sue Ambrose. We're talking about her story, which ran online under the headline, Texas Taxpayers Pay to Spin Vets in Chair. You can find that story online at the Dallas Morning News. If you'd like to join our conversation, we have lines open at 1-800-933-5372. You can also email think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. Thanks.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering the SMU Certificate Program, where you can take courses in art, architecture, history, literature, and more. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with Dallas Morning News investigative reporter Sue Ambrose, who, along with Scott Gordon of NBC5, has written a piece that in the newspaper is called Texas Taxpayers Pay to Spin Vets in Chair. It's an investigation of a state-funded research project at a facility known at the time as the Carrick Clinic in Irving. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. Okay, so tell us about round three of state funding for this project. We're at $1.6 million with what we've discussed so far to treat 100 vets approximately, and then there was another $600,000.
Yes, the contract was extended one final time. This time, the money came from the Texas Workforce Commission. That is an agency that typically deals with employment issues. But they actually contracted, they sent their money to the Health and Human Services Commission, and then that money was passed on again to the Carrick Clinic, now known as Cerebrum Health Centers.
I don't understand how money from the Texas Workforce Commission could end up being spent by the Health and Human Services Commission.
You know, it was a little unusual to us, too. We tried to interview the head of the Texas Workforce Commission. He wouldn't speak with us over the phone, but a spokeswoman did say that, you know, all they would say is that PTSD can interfere with job readiness, and that was their justification for sending the money over.
Of course, to go back, the veterans treated were not all Texas residents.
No, they weren't initially, but I do believe that at that point in the study, there was a new requirement put in that they had to come from Texas toward the end of the study.
Can you tell us a little bit about the verbiage that was used to explain the conclusion of the study? I know I'll give you a second to find it there if you need to, but it was a little hard for me reading through to understand what the language actually meant.
Yeah, we asked the clinic owners how they thought stimulating the brain's balance system would, or how that is connected to PTSD. And they gave us a pretty lengthy couple sentence or two explanation, saying that the brain's balance, when you stimulate the system, it activates the entire cortex, the ascending reticular system. It increases the function of the orbitofrontal lobe where PTSD lives. And they went on to say it increases digestion of food, and that helps it reduce inflammation. And, we ran these explanations by our experts, and they were baffled. They said the words are kind of strung together. They don't have any meaning. And one expert even referred to it as pseudoscientific babble.
Is digestion of food, problems with that, known to be a symptom of PTSD?
We have not seen it. I don't know, but, none of the experts we showed this language to, thought it made any sense.
Okay, I want to come back to this because it comes up in the piece and it's worth pointing out. There are veterans who were treated with these protocols that say they feel better. Some people might be saying it doesn't matter if these folks who risked their lives and became injured in the line of duty are feeling better after this treatment, then that's what should matter. What is your concern here with the study if some veterans, in fact, feel better after undergoing it?
Well, we don't know actually how many veterans would say that, but you're right that, at least one gentleman who blogged about the treatment and we interviewed said he did feel better. He didn't really, wasn't really going as far as saying his PTSD was gone. But the other thing was that this was a 2-week treatment and the veterans, using the state funding, the veterans were assessed before and after the 2-week treatments. We don't really know anything about how they will do, 1 or 2 years from now. That's still an unknown. So, you can feel better after a couple weeks of treatment. But again, unless you compare the clinic's protocol to a placebo control or some sort of other control, there's no way to really know that it's a real effect.
Does the study include funding reserved to follow up with these veterans who were treated?
Not that I'm aware of.
What kind of political relationship did then Governor Perry have to the folks who had opened the CARA clinic in Irving?
When the clinic first opened, we don't find anything that he knew the clinic owners ahead of time or anything like that. There was a campaign contribution later on from one of the clinic owners, when Governor Perry made his most recent bid for the presidency. But we didn't find any relationship to the clinic owners. However, there were a lot of patients treated there who are close to the governor, including Marcus Luttrell and some others who are veterans who have, served our country and sought treatment there, who spoke highly of it. And they've actually appeared in several clinic videos promoting the treatment.
Is the chair still being marketed by the clinic, which has a new name now, for treating patients with other conditions as well?
As of this morning, the chair still is on their website. The website is a little changed now that they have a new name for the clinic. But the chair is still there. It's listed as one of their breakthrough therapies. And if you go through all their videos, you can see that they use it for a variety of conditions, or at least they have.
How did you become aware of the story in the first place?
I had seen the Carrick Brain Centers, as it was then named, mentioned in a news article. And I've reported on science and medicine for a long time now in Dallas. The name was new to me. So I started doing a little research and saw that they had state funding got copies of the study, and along with Channel 5, we started asking experts to give us their opinions, and we kind of took it from there and wanted to understand, you know, given that the experts said it was so flawed, we wanted to understand how the whole funding stream came about. So along with NBC, we did, you know, we worked all summer to try to uncover how it happened.
How do those joint investigations work when you're working not only with a colleague, but with a colleague who's at another news outlet?
Well, our newspaper collaborates quite a bit with NBC5. Scott Gordon is a terrific reporter. He and I worked not side by side because we were in different offices, but, you know, absolutely together on this. We shared information. We shared documents. We conducted interviews over the phone together, a couple in person, and we just put our heads together, coordinated things, and it was, a very productive collaboration.
It's been really impressive work to read and also to watch. I wonder if there were things that you noted about the differences in storytelling between Scott Gordon telling this story on video and you telling this story in print and online.
Yes, you know, it's it was interesting. Unfortunately, for you know, for the TV, you know, audience, we tried to interview Dr. Carrick on camera. We tried to interview the clinic owners on camera. They declined, and that was we were a little disappointed in that. But they did answer our questions in writing, and you know, we were able to coordinate the coverage. And I think having it portrayed out to the public, both on TV and in print, is a good thing.
So I would imagine that this is not over for you. You're still keeping an eye on what happens next. What are you sort of watching for as time progresses?
Well, there is the state has told us that there is a final evaluation of the research, which will is supposed to come out by the end of October. So we'll be looking at that, and we'll look to see what their final conclusions are.
Are you willing to speculate on what those conclusions will be?
No, I'm not. I will reserve, but I will be watching, and I know Scott will too, and we'll be watching and hopefully have something to report at that point.
Terrific. Sue Ambrose is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News. She and Scott Gordon of NBC5 collaborated on the story, Texas Taxpayers Pay to Spin Vets in Chair. You can find the print version online at the Dallas News site and a video version at the NBC5 website. It's been great to have you here. Thank you so much, Sue.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.